Turn on that radio and back here.
Hey, what's your favorite radio station?
Is it morning already?
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
Well, you know what they say about the early bird.
And now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
Well, I'm off. I still vomit before every show.
Showtime.
Boston's greatest hits. 105.7 WROR. Here's Lauren and Wally.
Hey, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the Lauren and Wally Morning Radio Program. So, you rarely see it rain any harder than it rained yesterday.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. My basement was, like, insane looking. It sounded terrible.
How bad?
It was like a waterfall. I mean, like a legit waterfall on the side of my house because something's going on with a gutter. It was, you know, I hate it when you find those things out during a monsoon.
That's true.
Best time to find out.
You rarely learn those things during a drought.
Oh, my gosh. And I was in the midst of all the lightning and thunder. I was on Neponset Street going over 95, and it was like the brightest of bright, and then a crack that like made me like just, yep. I was like, yep. Oh, my God. I realized at that very moment I could never be a storm chaser.
Really?
So I was like, oh, I can't be that. All right, well, that's off the table.
Okay. Yes, exactly. Let me think of something else I want to do.
Yeah. I'm like, home.
I diverted my trip because there's a big puddle we came across.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I'm going to drive through that.
Yeah. Like a couple of days ago, did you see the Marine Corps Humvee?
Yeah.
That went, oh, my God. Underwater like that?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't
unbelievable.
See that video, but I kind of could imagine after yesterday.
And I think they said last night that 80 trillion gallons of water have fallen on the Carolinas over the past 3 days. And I'm thinking, well, like we were saying before we went on the air this morning, could you imagine rain like we had yesterday for like three or four continuous days?
Yeah. I would be
unbelievable.
In big trouble.
Okay, so
there are important
soggy
things in my basement.
Really?
Like a boiler. That would be bad, right?
Yeah, that's important.
That would be. Yeah, that's important. Okay, showers early this morning, then just cloudy by the afternoon, and tomorrow we'll see some sunshine. So that's good news. Right? It was really weird because last night then the sun came out.
Yeah, it's weird like that. But it was crazy yesterday.
It was
a good day to stay indoors.
Things we have coming up on the program today. We got, dirty laundry. A lot of dirty laundry stuff is coming up.
Well, we might talk about how Tom Brady wants a divorce.
This is a shocking news.
Yes,
we have that for you this morning. Let me see. We got Winogrand in 60 seconds coming up. Help wanted. I ran across two dream jobs yesterday.
Really?
And yeah, we'll post these for you.
Really? You're out looking for jobs?
Yep, out looking for jobs. Ran across two of them. Ratings Emmys were really bad.
I know.
It was a Monday night.
Well, that's when you watch TV,
weird.
Right?
Yeah, but they're usually on a
Sunday
night.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they are. Well, yeah. NBC's thinking about making it into a series if ratings are so low.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay. So we got all of this is coming up this morning right here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Radio Program.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR. Boston's greatest hits, 105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show, sponsored by Horizon Interiors. Here's Lauren, LBF, Hank, and Brian.
Okay, everybody, here we go. Time for your 620 Men for May.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. As today's action-packed drama begins, Ephus is applying for a job at a Bangor dairy farm. When we hear...
Ephus, I want you to take this bucket and stool and go down the barn and milk old Bessie.
Oh, all right.
Ephus, having never milked a cow before, decides to give it his best shot so the boss won't find out, only to return nearly 2 hours later completely disheveled, carrying a dented pail and a smashed milk stool.
God's sakes, Ephus, what took you so long?
Well, getting the milk out was easy. What took so long was getting that stupid cow to sit on that stool.
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lauren and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show, brought to you by Horizon Interiors.
Okay, so we have this really important report coming up for you next. Do you think we can handle this in a mature manner?
Yeah, you know what? No.
Nope.
Nope, not at all. No,
you really
not
don't
at
think
all.
We can?
I don't think so at all.
Okay.
I like that you gave it some thought.
I try to give you guys the benefit of the doubt, and then I come to my senses.
Yep.
Okay, we'll try to be mature about this.
Oh,
it's coming up.
Really?
It's coming up next. In the meantime, let's see what the community is doing this morning. How are we doing?
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
Okay, here we go. Now, we're going to try our best to be very mature about this report, because this is this is news that needs to be reported.
My expectations are low.
Yes. As they should be.
Well, there's a town in Missouri called Uranus.
Uranus, Missouri. Yep.
They have a new newspaper.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay.
And it's called the Uranus Examiner.
I see.
And James Corden.
What's up, Uranus? Nothing.
And James Corden decided to weigh in on that decision, and here's what he had to say.
A small town in Missouri recently launched a newspaper called The Examiner, and the mayor is upset about this. And to understand why, you need to know that the town is called, and I promise this is real, the town is called Uranus, okay? So the newspaper that they launched is the Uranus Examiner. Honestly, I can't believe Uranus went this long without having any paper.
Oh, really?
A little help here, I'm all out. And it's... Now, the mayor wants the name changed. She thinks it opens up the town to ridicule. Though it's hard to command any respect when your official title is Mayor of Uranus.
Yeah.
I agree.
Oh, my God!
The Lauren and Wally Show.
What the f*** is that, bro?
105.7 WROR.
Okay, coming up next on the Lorna White Morning Show. I was shocked yesterday when I saw the breaking news that said Tom Brady wants a divorce. Wanted a divorce. Were you shocked when you saw that?
I was almost as shocked as the fact that you didn't actually expand on the Uranus stuff. No pun intended.
God, what's wrong with you?
Never use the term expand and Uranus at the same time, okay?
But yes, I am shocked.
Okay, in the meantime, we're going to cover that for you coming up.
The Lauren and Wally Show, 105.7 WROR.
So basically, for the past 8-9 months, everything down at Foxborough has been a reality show. And so we thought we should give you the latest update on this, because this really blew me away yesterday.
It's super drama on The Real Housewives of Foxborough.
So,
there's a new book out. Very interesting. It's called Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. And it's by Ian O'Connor. And it basically says that Tom Brady is stuck in a loveless marriage with Bill Belichick and wants a divorce. He feels trapped. He feels used. He feels like Belichick wasted the best years of his life.
He's not appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, all the things that he does, and everyone's like, Bill Belichick's the greatest coach ever. And then all of a sudden, Tom Brady's just a quarterback who's living out the remainder of his years under his thumb. It's terrible. It is. I actually
just
feel...
Just a trophy wife.
Anyway, you know, and the thing is this is what happens. When one person in a relationship feels like they're not appreciated, sometimes they go outside the relationship to find validation. Case in point, Alex Guerrero.
And his rubdowns.
Yeah, he pays a lot of attention to Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So, it's been a publicly fraught relationship for months, and... You know, I guess Tom Brady feels a little stuck because when Jimmy Garoppolo was traded, it was like, oh, I guess this is a good idea because I didn't want to be like a Peyton Manning thing situation.
Like, pushed out.
He pushed out. Yeah. But yeah. Now he's stuck. Like, right. The thing is like sometimes be careful what you wish for.
Well, that's part of the reason why people think Belichick is like, oh, okay, fine. We got nothing for Jimmy G.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, you want to stay?
Yeah,
you want to stay?
You want to be the man?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. What are you thinking?
Poor Tom Brady.
So what's he going to do? I mean, Lombardi the thing is he's stuck. He's stuck. He's like a lot of relationships. You're like, what are you going to do? You going to split up the family?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what will change all of this?
What?
If they come back and win a Super Bowl.
Why?
Problem solved.
And then Tom can retire.
There you go.
Oh, he can retire? Maybe. I think it just delays the inevitable. It's like, you know, when you're... Oh, we're finally getting along, and then it's the off season, and you guys are fighting again.
Okay, we'll see. And speaking of sports,
hey, Josh Gordon, he showed up yesterday, or as LBF likes to call him, Josh Groban.
Yep. So
he's
an angel.
He reported he passed his physical. The hamstring is not serious. It's not clear if he's going to see any playing time Sunday night in Detroit. So there you go. We got a new receiver. We'll see if it works out. The Red Sox, almost. Neil Walker had a 3-run homer in the 7th. Yankees won 3-2. Man, we almost came back. We had in the 9th a couple of errors, but the magic number remains at 2, and we will once again take on the Yankees in New York, 7:05 tonight. David Price going for his 16th win against Luis Severino. He's going for his 18th win. And congratulations to the Baltimore Orioles. You're horrible. They just set the record.
They are. 108th
loss of the season for the Orioles. Their most since moving to Baltimore in 1954.
You did it!
Congratulations.
Yay!
You're the worst. Hey, and the Bruins are undefeated in the preseason. They beat the Caps 5-2 in Washington yesterday. The other half of the Bruins squad takes on the Calgary Flames in Beijing, China at 7:30 this morning, if you want to catch that. So there you go.
Thank you very much. Okay, coming up next, we got the Bell Buster, and today's Bell Buster is all about politics.
Yeah, well, you know, Rachel and her neighbor Phyllis, they hate all the yard signs. So Phyllis wanted to mess with Rachel, so I called to see if, as a completely made-up candidate, to see if I could get her to put a sign on her yard.
Hey, you know, maybe I could get you to put a nice sign on your yard for me. Really help me get the word out.
I don't know.
The sign, it's kind of in the shape of a marijuana leaf, and it just says, you know, everybody must get stoned, vote yeah, David sir. Wooderson.
That's not going to happen. I have an elementary school child. I'm on the PTA.
5.7 WROR. The Lauren and Wally Show.
Hello.
The Brian Bell Buster. Mornings on the 50s. The Lauren and Wally Show. 105.7 WROR.
So I heard from Phyllis, and she wants to get her neighbor, Rachel, for her birthday. And it's the time of year where they have, you know, all the yard signs out for voting.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Vote for this candidate, that candidate, yeah.
Well, they were talking about how annoying they are. So I'm going to call Rachel and try to get her to vote for me for a completely made-up position.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Who am I speaking with?
Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. This is David Wooderson. I'm just trying to call people to remind everyone to get out and vote.
Well, I always vote.
Good.
I always vote.
Good. It's very important to, you know, exercise your privilege of voting, so that's great.
I always do. No need to worry. I don't really want to give any money to anybody right now, though, just so.
Nope. I'm just trying to remind people to get out and vote. I forgot. I actually would like you to vote for me, if possible, you know. Vote for David Wooderson. If you know, you'd like to.
Okay, what are you running for?
I am running for the
board.
The Massachusetts Secretary of Agriculture.
Okay, and you're cold calling constituents.
Just trying to get the word out. You know, you don't have to vote for me if you don't want to, but just get out and vote. It's very important. And what I'm trying to get people to realize, you know, there's some great tax cuts, some incentives for, you know, small businesses, you know, people who own like smoke shops and dispensaries.
Smoke shops?
Yeah. Got to get some tax cuts there for the smoke shop owners.
No, those are the kids that hang out at the wall down by the high school, the smoking people. No.
Yeah, you know, maybe a tax break for people who might grow weed in their backyard.
No. What party are you with?
I'm
the
in the
Cheech and Chong party.
Ready to party anytime. You know, I'd really like to make 420 a national holiday if possible.
Oh my God, are you even on the actual ballot? I have not heard of you. And
yeah, you know, I had all the mailers ready to go out, but we printed them all on hemp paper, and my buddies and I smoked them all. So we're not really on the ballot. You kind of have to write in my name. Yeah, so it's David Wooderson.
So are you a rogue candidate, sir?
Yes, that's a great name for it. Yeah, I just feel like, you know, I have some good stuff to offer.
You're not driving around in a van like the A-Team?
No, but man, I love that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you had a problem, you could always call him.
Oh my God.
Hey, you know, maybe I could get you to put a nice sign on your yard for me. Really help me get the word out.
I don't know.
The sign, it's kind of in the shape of a marijuana leaf, and it just says, you know, everybody must get stoned, vote David Wooderson.
That's not going to happen. I have an elementary school child. I'm on the PTA.
I have a really cool one with a built-in fog machine and laser lights and stuff.
No, it's already, you know, just my neighbor's plastic flamingos, which look like they're out of the opening sequence of Miami Vice. Wow. I just can't do it. I mean,
got some awesome 80s references, though. I really appreciate that, Rachel.
Well, you know, that was a great time for me and my husband.
Hey, you know, did you guys ever turn on the Lauren and Wally show back then?
Yes, I think I remember something. I think I remember, yeah.
Yeah. Did you know they're still on, and every once in a while they call people and mess with them on the phone? You know, Rachel, this is actually Brian Bell from the Lauren and Wally Show.
What?
This is a Brian Bell buster.
Brian Bell. Brian!
Yeah, your neighbor Phyllis wanted to get you for your birthday. Let us know you weren't too happy about all the stuff out on the lawns out there.
That little... Oh,
watch it. Watch it.
So, yeah, thanks for listening to Lauren and Wally.
Wow.
So happy birthday, and we can help you get Phyllis back if you like.
Thank you. And yes, of course. Let's get to work on that right away.
Right.
Wow. Brian.
Got someone you want us to call? Tell us who at the Lauren and Wally page of WROR.com. The Brian Bell Buster. Mornings on the 50s. 105.7 WROR.
Well, as we mentioned, it happens with every generation. The generation before is more coddled and, harder to... They just can't handle things that are happening.
Wait a minute. You're setting this up. Let's just present it as fact, sir.
Well, that's fact.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That's fact. That's complete fact.
Okay. Slow down.
Okay.
So this is what's happening.
Yeah.
Kids today in high school are protesting a new thing. What are they protesting? Public speaking in class. You know, when you have to make an oral presentation.
Have to get up in front of
class.
Oh,
my God. Yeah. And you have to, like, recite something or...
Book report.
Yeah. You know, something that that is required and, according to the academics, very important. But... A 15-year-old high school student who goes by Lean on Twitter posted a tweet early this month that said, "Stop forcing students to present in front of the class and give them the choice not to." And she sort of cited people with anxiety. It's a very stressful situation. Her tweet is now at over 500,000 combined retweets and likes and has more than 138,000 comments, a ton of which are supporting what she's saying. So schools are thinking about... cutting mandatory public speaking because it's bad for some kids' mental health.
Seriously?
A history teacher in Texas named Kathleen Carver basically summed it up saying things are just different today. Quote, "We're in a day and age where we have to acknowledge our students' feelings."
No, we don't.
Now, so tell me how you really feel. Now, what's interesting is that according to a recent survey of American colleges and universities, oral communication is one of the most sought-after skills in the workplace, with more than 90% of hiring managers saying it's important.
It's extremely important.
And don't you, most people, you always, things that you fear, and most people fear public speaking.
That's one of the big phobias.
It's
spiders is number one, public speaking is number two.
Right, and public speaking about spiders is off the charts.
Unbelievable.
But, wouldn't you think that in school, this is where you learn that skill, and that's why it's important to be afraid.
I don't think that anybody is really comfortable with public speaking. I don't even like it, and I've hosted things, and I get sweaty and blotchy.
You talk on the radio for a living,
I know, and I can't even believe it. I don't really do a good job. You know how much I mess. It is. But I think it's important to at least try.
They say that they don't want to have to do public speaking because it makes them anxious. Okay. You know what? Solving a math problem might make you anxious too,
Well, yes, I know, but that definitely makes me anxious. But I think that...
to be done.
Okay, one
You know
second.
What makes me anxious?
Can I finish what I was saying?
Yeah, I was going to talk about math problems because I don't know how they do math anymore.
I'm just saying that when you're doing a math problem, you're doing it all by yourself and there's no one watching. And I think that the oral presentation can be a very stressful thing because all eyes are on you. I mean,
apples and oranges.
Unless they call you up to the board to show your work.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, exactly. So
that's the worst.
I definitely understand the protest, but I don't think.
I understand the fear.
That they should definitely get out of doing it.
Because
I think it's important to try something before you decide you hate it. You know?
It's like broccoli.
Like, exactly. I remember,
good point.
I don't think that, there's one out of a gazillion people who really likes to speak publicly. And then they become governor. So, yay, good for you. But the rest of us schlubs are like, no way. I don't know. I protest all you want, but I think that you should definitely try it.
Yep.
You should definitely try it.
The teachers could actually, maybe help with
them.
The anxiety.
Because
not just like, we won't do it.
That's why meditation should be in schools. We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Okay.
Wow. 105.7 WROR.
Welcome to another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Man from Maine.
As today's action-packed drama begins, Effie is riding on a bus seated next to a stranger, and she's experiencing a difficult gas problem when unexpectedly she breaks one. The bus falls silent, and Effie tries desperately to come up with something to say to the stranger to break the tension, and we hear...
Excuse me, do you have a bus transfer?
I know, but the next time we pass a tree, I'll try to grab a handful of leaves for you.
Join us again soon for another thrilling episode of the exciting adventures of Men from Maine. Right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show.
105.7 WROR.
Lorne and Wally.
Okay, coming up next, everybody, this is going to be the food special because people are outraged at something that they're doing with the pies, okay?
This is what teenagers should be protesting. Okay. I can talk.
Then the new hybrid that they have on the shelves now, the mayo ketchup hybrid, people are outraged about this. I mean, it's all outrage.
Food rage.
Food rage. And then something really cool. This is like a dream job come true where you can be a test cook. For big bucks. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Foodie Report right here on the Lorne and Wally Morning Show. Okay, and before this is over, we're going to tell you about this company that is going, you're not going to believe, they're going to pay you $1,000 a day to do what? Yikes! Mm-hmm. Okay, you want to start with the, you want to start with the pies?
Yes, I am going to start with the pies because okay. I'm upset. I feel like McDonald's apple pies are very good. They were better in the 70s because I wasn't dieting, but but they're still good. But now they've made big changes, and I don't know. They have crisscross lattice crust on the top now, which, you know, is kind of fancy.
That used to be the regular crust, right?
Yeah, it was just like
just regular
pie.
It
was like a
sleeve
of
dough.
It was a sleeve
dough.
Of dough with apples shoved in there and closed like a burrito.
Hot.
Yeah. And then
and
you bite
in
into it and
thing.
You would burn the top of your mouth and you'd have that flap of skin hanging for like
Hangaroo.
A week. That was.
But it was delicious.
But it was for every third degree burn.
Yes.
Now
yes.
They're going to use more cinnamon, fine, less sugar.
Well, they put the more cinnamon in to make up for the less sugar.
Cinnamon does not make up for sugar. You have to have the perfect cinnamon sugar ratio.
In fact,
back in the day, y'all, we used to have to mix our cinnamon and sugar together. Do you know now you can get it mixed already in the bakery aisle at
Shaw's? Boy, that sure takes a burden out of your cooking schedule, doesn't it?
People are so coddled nowadays.
Yes, they really are. That's it.
Anyway, McDonald's is not going to change it back. They say you will love these pies even more. And they, and this isn't the first time they changed the recipe. In 1992, they switched from deep frying them to baking them. Boo! I miss trans fat so much.
Well, see, they're doing this for health reasons. And I know when I'm thinking health, I always think McDonald's first, right up on the top of
the salad wrap things.
They do the salad wrap things as well. Okay, now here, get a load of this. Another thing that is outraging people. People are outraged about the most ridiculous thing. You know, we reported this like a couple months ago. Heinz is going to come out with, speaking about being lazy,
this is so gross,
pre-mixed mayo and ketchup, a hybrid, so you don't have to mix your mayo, your own mayo and ketchup. So
it's like pus.
Oh, at least they didn't call it that. Oh, my God.
Is that what they called it, pus?
So they pre-mix your ketchup and your mayo
and
for you.
And it squeezes out.
Exactly.
So gross.
Okay, and it's like popping,
it is. It's pus. It's pus on your
burger. And they named it. Here's what they named it. Mayo chup. Mayo chup.
Sounds
and
almost as gross as pus.
Yeah.
People are outraged about this because they say it should be named tomayo. Which I agree, tomato is a much catchier.
Tomato is way better.
Yeah,
mayo
way
chup
better
is
name.
Terrible.
Yeah, okay.
Something that comes, yeah.
Okay, now.
Comes after an infection.
This is great. If you're looking for a job, there's a cookware company called Uni. I don't know if you've ever heard of Uni.
Oh.
They're hiring 10 people to cook and eat pizza using their outdoor pizza grills. Now, you've cooked pizza on a grill.
Yeah, just on my little
comes
grill,
out pretty good.
This one's it's an awfully cool thing. They give you one of these, and it's like a $600 thing, and it's outside, and it's got a little chimney, and you put the pizza in, and then you get $1,000 a day to
$1,000
cook pizza
a day.
And feed it.
Okay.
Lucy eats pizza every day for free.
How many do you have to eat for $1,000 a day?
I don't know, but I think I could handle it. So if you check it out on uni.com, and maybe you can apply for a job there. Okay, coming up next, we got the Dirty Laundry Report. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
The underbelly of the Emmy proposal. Nothing is ever pure, people.
Okay.
We've got some inside info
about
this guy.
What you believe was the greatest Emmy moment
ever. It still is the greatest Emmy moment. What kind, you know, it comes after that's never fun.
You're not gonna believe this. Okay, little update for you. By the way, Hank, well, we talked to Hank twice yesterday. He had his surgery day before yesterday. They fixed his broken ankle and all that kind of stuff. And he's going to be this fine, and he's in the hospital.
Physically.
Physically.
Still a mess mentally.
And he will probably be released from the hospital by tomorrow. Okay, now we have January on the line. Hey, January, how you doing this morning?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. What's up?
So the apple pies that LVS just said she misses, the deep-fried ones, there's still one place that does it.
Where?
In Lynn, there's a Walmart that has a McDonald's inside of it. And because they can't fit the oven, they have to resort to doing it the old way, deep fried.
Stop it!
Oh, my God.
Thank you, January.
Oh, my God. You've made my life.
Okay. We'll see you in October.
My jeans aren't going to be happy.
Air Guitar Weekend. The greatest hits with the greatest riffs for air guitarists everywhere.
Here, buddy, here we go. 7:45, Dirty Laundry Update is on the air here for WROR. So, let's get it. Let's go on here.
Okay, this is brought to you by Citizens Bank. We've got a movie remake. We've got somebody quitting a TV show. We've got a retirement. But first, let us follow up, please, on the greatest moment in Emmy history, which was on Monday night.
Yep.
That was when Glenn Weiss, who got a director for the Oscars, won an Emmy for that, got up and proposed to his girlfriend, and everyone's heart swooned, and we were all like teary, and it was so great.
Yep.
And he was on Kimmel last night talking about what made him do this. This is what he had to say.
I think about a week or two ago that I wanted to do something at some point coming. I didn't think it would happen as quickly, but an opportunity arose.
Jen, did you have any idea that Glenn was up to anything?
As evidenced by my reaction, I think the answer is no idea at all.
Yeah. Well, either that or you're going to win the Emmy for Best Guest Performance at an award show. So what was the plan if you didn't win last night?
Let's hear.
What?
Yeah. What? Would you have broken up?
Definitely not.
Were you letting the fates decide?
I think last night was an opportunity that presented itself because I fortunately did win, but I don't think I was targeting September 17th as a date to do this. It happened and it was great, but it could have been October or November or next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, really.
Well, all right, Glenn, stop talking. Because you know what? You're kind of burying yourself.
Ahead.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone was very excited, you know, everyone's clapping and we're all cheering up. Well, his daughters are not. His 17 and 20-year-old daughters learned that their dad was getting remarried at the same time as the rest of America while they were watching the performance. They were completely shocked and blindsided. He could have been a man and gone to them first, said a source close to them, and said, I'm planning on doing this. I don't want you to be surprised. He's coming across as this great romantic hero. But it was pretty thoughtless. Insiders also say that his ex-wife also works in the TV industry, and Weiss and Svensson's romance stunned the community when it became public. While Weiss said in a post-ceremony press conference that they had been together 10 years, court records show that he and his ex began divorce proceedings in 2008, which means that there was an overlap. And no one likes an overlap. That's a Venn diagram, not in a marriage. No, thank you.
Interesting.
So anyway, and people were surprised that Weiss opened himself to so much public scrutiny. Because this is what happens when you do something publicly. People are going to come after you, especially if it's romantic. They're going to find out that you're really a scumbag. Happens. So anyway, it's true.
Well, he's gone from the grace ever to a scumbag in your mind now.
No, he just has the potential. I think he's probably a nice enough guy, but, you know, there's that little stuff.
But, you know, it's a funny thing. The difference between, the sons and daughters. You know, the daughters had problem with it. The sons would have been going, hey, yo, go dad.
I don't agree with you there. I think you're making
really?
A blanket statement
really?
About sons and daughters, but I'm not going to get into it with you because I need to move on.
Okay.
Eddie Murphy will star in a remake of guess what? Grumpy Old Men.
This should be fun.
Really?
Lauren's favorite movie.
Yep.
Did you see who they think the co-star could be?
Samuel L. Jackson.
That's
like
right.
He needs the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I first of all, Grumpy Old Men is a great movie. And I actually welcome a remake because I feel like there's a lot to mine there. Julie Chen, bye-bye the talk. She gave a speech yesterday saying that she loved everybody, but she's going to be home now. But
she wants to spend more time keeping her eye on her husband.
Exactly. Now that there is where you and I agree.
Yeah.
Bob Seger's announced his final tour dates. He and the Silver Bullet Band will hit the road for a 6-month tour starting November 22nd, 21st in Michigan. 10 dates. More will be added.
There's no Boston date yet.
There's no Boston date. And let me tell you, my mom's going to be upset because randomly, even though she loves like musicals, she loves her some Bob Seger. Loves her.
5K artist of the day today.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you much. Okay, coming up next right here on the Lauren Whitey Morning Radio program, we are going to put a Brian Bellbuster on. This is, what is it, this 7 weeks till the big election?
Well, yeah, you know, voting's important.
Yep,
and
very
important. Phyllis called and wanted to get her her neighbor Rachel, and they're always talking about, you know, the lawn sign. So I thought that I would call and see if I could get Rachel to put up a lawn sign for me.
Okay.
105.7 WROR, the Lauren and Whitey Show. This is Grand in 60 Seconds.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to see if somebody's got what it takes this morning to win $1,000 from Century Bank. Our player is a 26-year-old person in the speech pathology game from South Boston, Massachusetts, and his name is Martin Lewis. Good morning, and how are you doing this morning, Martin? Welcome to the Lauren and Whitey Morning Show.
Good. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Great to have you on the
show. Excellent enunciation.
Okay, now, Martin, is it do people call you Martin? They call you Marty? What's the accepted deal?
I go by anything.
Everything. Okay. Well, listen, everything. Here's what we're going to do. Over the next 60 seconds, LBF is going to give you 10 questions. Your job is to answer all 10 of those questions correctly within 60 seconds. As you know, if you have time left over and you've passed on any, we'll come back as time allows. We'll pick those up. You get them all right within 60 seconds. You automatically, instantly win $1,000 in cash from Century Bank. So if you're ready to go, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Right, I'm ready, too.
Here's the questions, and here we go in 3, 2, 1.
When it's midnight in Boston, what time is it in New York?
Midnight.
What's the largest manufacturer of chocolate in the United States?
Hershey's.
Who is the founder of Facebook?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Who hosts the Late Late Show?
James Corden.
What is the capital of Rhode Island?
Providence.
What college team did Doug Flutie play for?
Boston College.
Ascorbic acid is another name for which vitamin?
Pass.
Which is taller, the Eiffel Tower or the Statue of Liberty?
Can you say that again?
Which is taller, the Eiffel Tower or the Statue of Liberty?
The Eiffel Tower.
What was the last name of flight pioneers Orville and Wilbur?
Pass.
Who was the first woman to make a solo flight across the Atlantic?
Amelia Earhart.
Yep. Which is... wait a minute. What's the last name of flight? Oh, my God. I was so excited for you. I started to...
Oh, my God.
You were good.
So
you were good.
Good.
You really were good. You got 8 correct. You passed on.
Passed on 2.
Yeah, nothing wrong. Just
very good. Nothing wrong. You just passed on 2 of them.
Okay. I'm bummed out.
Congratulations on being good.
You're really good. You're so close. Vitamin
I wish we could
C
give you the cash.
Is the ascorbic acid. And the last name of the flight pioneers, Orville and Wilbur, Wright.
The Wright brothers.
The Wright
I
brothers.
I thought it was Redenbacher.
See? And you knew. Yeah. You knew those.
Yes.
We do have a consolation prize, however, and I think you're going to enjoy this great deal. It's a pair of tickets to Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, the best of Abbey Road, performed live February 23rd through 24th for 3 shows only at Box Center Wang Theater. Everybody else, use code WROR at boxcenter.org to buy your tickets now before they go on sale to the general public. But you already have your tickets, Martin. Thank you for playing. Thank you for being a member of the nation. Have yourself a great
day.
So
good. Feel
thank
proud.
You very much,
you guys. Yes, proud. Walk with your head held high today. Thank you, Martin.
I will. Thank
okay,
you.
Now, everybody, if you think you'd like to play the game, simply log on to WROR.com and register, and you can be a winner right here at WROR. Ah, yes, Sesame Street. And people are all upset about Sesame Street now.
Well,
all because
it's weird.
Of Bert and Ernie.
Yesterday, well, Mark Saltzman, who joined the show in 1984, told Queerty magazine that two puppets are a gay couple, and their relationship is a reflection of his partnership with film editor Arnold Glassman, which prompted Sesame's workshop to say, put out a tweet that said, as we've always said, Ernie and Bert are best friends. They were created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with those who are very different from themselves, even though they are identified as male characters and possess many human traits and characteristics. They remain puppets and do not have a sexual orientation.
They're puppets.
Which is like, okay, I get it, but like, why not? Why just like, who, like, why not tweet instead of like, no? Why don't you just be like, who cares? Snarky about it. Like, who cares? Like, make your own conclusions. If that's what you want them to represent, cool. If you want them to represent just two guys who can't afford their own place in Brooklyn and they decided to move in together,
whatever.
Cool.
Whatever.
That's awesome.
Hey, well, just, I mean, look at Miss Piggy. She's a trollop. I think that's the first time we've ever used trollop.
I think that she's a little sexually aggressive with Kermit. But I was thinking this whole thing. Yeah. With Bertner, he's always been like, oh, everyone's always concentrated on Bertner and his relationship when they've ignored a lot of other relationships. For example, I mean, Fozzie and Kermit had a very strange relationship. That cross-country trek, I don't know, a little bit interesting. Yeah. Grover was a little handsy. Miss Piggy was constantly sexual harassing Kermit.
Not to mention just pigs and frogs.
I know, exactly.
That's
and Gonzo. Gonzo's attractions to chicken. That started in episode 204 of The Muppet Show. And
That was always so strange.
The guy who voiced him ad-libbed the line, listen, don't call us, we'll call you. Nice legs, though. And after that, the writers decided that Gonzo should have an attraction to chickens. And he would say these terrible things. In fact, in the Muppet movie, he said to Miss Piggy, saying, if you were a chicken, you'd be impeccable. Which is, like, kind of disgusting
if you
think about it. Jan? What about Jan? Total sexualized groupie.
Yeah.
You know, there's that. No one ever questioned Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah.
Because they were just two old guys. What about them?
Yeah.
What about,
and I'm not even going to touch Dr.
What about
Peel.
Oscar?
Oscar's just a loner.
He's got problems.
He's got problems, but he never.
He's homeless, obviously.
Just that, but like, I don't know. Like, they're like, Muppets aren't sexualized, but they're always putting words in their little Muppety mouths that are so double entendre-y.
Yeah, that's the fun part.
That's why parents watch.
But it's like, it does seem like a missed opportunity for Sesame Street because there's so many kids. They got two moms, they got two dads.
No
big deal.
It's for kids,
all right, guys.
Leave it alone. Okay, look. Coming up, there's a lot of talent in the Boston area.
Just not in this room.
No,
there is a lot of talent in the Boston area, and we're going to talk to one of the talented people who didn't quite win on a national TV show. But he was.
Yeah, if you watched Beat Shazam last night.
Did you ever watch Beat Shazam?
I was playing along.
You play all the time.
Yeah.
I beat
a couple contestants
last
night.
You should go on there. You're good.
No, not at all.
Okay, hang on. We're going to talk to somebody coming up in just a few minutes. In the meantime. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Lorne and Wally Small World Report this morning. So, Brian was just watching TV, minding his own business last night, and bang.
Yeah, my son and I, we like watching Beat Shazam.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
It's kind of fun. You can play along on your phones. We always try to. And we turned it on last night, and there's Michael from Boston. And I'm like, I think that's Mikey the plumber's son. So I text Mikey.
God.
I go, Mikey, is your son on Beat Shazam? He's like, yeah. So we got Mikey Jr. on the line here. Michael, how are you, bud?
How are you guys doing? Good morning.
Good morning. Okay,
this is amazing.
Originally from East Boston, now living in Beverly, Massachusetts, and he has his own DJ business called Gate Entertainment.
Yeah, so it was like Battle of the DJs last night.
Oh, fun.
So this is cool. And I understand that we just played the Talking Heads, and that was one of the audition things you used to get on the show in the first place, right?
Exactly. It was quite the daunting process. My partner, Frank, and I of Phoenix Productions, he and I went through an entire slew of phone calls and Skype interviews and re-Skype interviews and more phone calls. And finally, we made it to the final Skype interview with the gentleman who actually runs the show, the producer of the show, Mr. Aploff.
Yep.
We actually met with him via Skype, and the Talking Heads, that was one of our final questions that kind of sealed the deal to get us moving towards L.A.
Wow. How was it? What was it like? What was the pressure like? Is it totally different than just guessing songs?
Oh my God, yeah, it was absolutely crazy. So the story began on a Tuesday afternoon at 3:57 p.m. We get a phone call.
I have to make a point to remember exactly.
So it's 3:57 p.m. and I get this phone call and it says L.A. and I'm like, okay, here we go. And they're like, hey, Mike, what's up? And I was like, oh, nothing. They're like, yeah, it's the producers with Beat Shazam. Hey, can you film? So I'm thinking, okay, yeah, like next week or whatever. This is great. And the guy goes, yeah, well, so
we'd fly you out tomorrow, and you know, we film first thing in the morning on Thursday.
Wow!
And I'm like, whoa! I was like, well, wait a minute. I was like, we have lives, we have jobs. Like,
yeah, right.
Not only do we have 9 to 5s, but we have the DJ business. Like, this is crazy. We're gonna have to juggle some stuff. So, long story short, the people that I work at Landmark School here up here in Pride's Crossing / Beverly,
yep,
and the fine people here bent over backwards to make sure that I could make my way to LA. My buddy Frank, he was able to, you know, pass off some engagements and change some meeting times. So, long story short, we were at Logan Airport by 1 p.m. the next day. We were supposed to leave at 2, and sure enough, as it would be expected, the flight got delayed.
Of course.
Oh, my God.
Not 3 hours, not 4 hours. 5 hours later, we finally left Boston.
Holy God. We make
it to L.A. We were supposed to be in, supposed to get a nice per diem, we could put up in the hotel, all this nice stuff, and we didn't get in until almost midnight. And they're like, by the way, curtain call is at 5 a.m.
Oh, my God.
You gotta be kidding me. So we slept for about 4 hours, but we could barely sleep because we were so excited.
And
we get downstairs, and they vanned us, they van shuttled us over to the studios, and the rest was history, but
it was
a whirlwind, unbelievable experience.
How nervous were you?
To be honest with you, like, you know, Frank and I are used to being in front of lots of people, so it didn't really bother us, but you get on that stage and you see the sounds and the lights and everything shining on you and the cameras. It's nerve-wracking. You get those butterflies, you know?
Yeah, you know what I was curious about, Michael? Now, so Michael was on Beat Shazam last night,
right,
and I play the home version because you can play on your phone with the app. And so, you know, you push the song name when you know the song.
Right.
I beat the players last night on 2 songs. I was pretty proud.
Very good, very good.
Yeah, and he beat us twice. And one time we pressed the wrong button. Frank and I's hands collided a couple times.
That's what I'm curious about. Like, that thing
happens. I'll tell you, I was telling Brian before we came on. What happens is everyone thinks that the buttons have the names of the songs on it, but they actually don't. You have to coordinate with the screen which button. So they give you some practice, you know, before getting to the stage.
So you got to think about it.
Exactly.
And there were some fast times last night. It was really cool to see you guys, you know, on the screen doing it. It looked like a lot of fun. And our boss really wants to be on that show, so I might have to get that producer's number.
Well, I'll tell you how to do it. How it happened, I was sitting, I had just finished a residential meeting at my school, and I came back, and I'm sitting at my, you know, going through my emails and, you know, emailing parents and all this stuff, and all of a sudden I see this email from Casting Crane, and I'm like, what is this? And then they're like, oh, Beat Shazam, new season is looking for auditions. So I went to the website, and I filled out the form, and then I get to the end, and it says, okay, submit a video. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. I was like, what am I going to do? So I'm sitting at my kitchen table, and I'm wearing a polo shirt, and I'm going on this rant. And I have to say, I'm not tooting my own horn, but it was like the one take Osmonds. It was like one take. I did it. I canned it up. I sent it. And within about a month or so, I got a preliminary call saying, hey, you know, we're interested. And then I was like, I'll never hear from them again. And first thing in September, they got in touch with us, and we shot last December. So that's been in the can for almost 9 months.
Were the people nice?
Oh, the people were wonderful, yes. The people, they really were. They look after you from the time you land. I mean, they had transfers to and from the hotel. They had people with you. The only thing that's really tough about being on a game show, especially a game show like that, we were there for the first day of shooting for the entire new season,
season,
which meant they were working out kinks. There was a lot of different things
you
know, that hadn't been dealt with yet in real life, so what had happened was they basically sequester you, just like a jury. They take your technology and everything. So my buddy Frank and I, we were sequestered for about 8 or 9 hours before we even made it to the stage.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing.
Yeah, so we were playing board games. They had Candyland. They had Guess Who.
Oh, my God.
Hey,
Michael, if somebody's interested in using your business, how can they get a hold of you?
My business is Gator Entertainment through Facebook and as well as My Phoenix Productions. Frank and I work very closely together. We do a lot of collaborations. So you can get in touch with us at Gator Entertainment. That's G-A-E-T-A, entertainment.com, or My Phoenix Events.com.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning, and have a great day.
Michael.
Thank you. Okay, and can I just great. Say I love to my love to my wife and my beautiful daughter?
Oh,
absolutely.
And my family.
You
thank
just
you
did
so
it.
Much.
Yeah.
Okay.
There
you go. Have a great one, guys.
Thanks a lot, man.
He is just like his dad.
Yeah. Never seen before, kid.
The Lauren and Wally Show.
Holy
105.7 WROR.